This episode is brought to you by Wrestling Resurgence. Use the promo code BROKEN15 to get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise and tickets for their upcoming shows. Links are in the description.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Two.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Cruz.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only Chocolate Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm joined by the face that runs the place, Nick Davey.
Good evening. I was hoping it was going to be a pancake reference for tonight's one, but no. But we'll take it.
I can only think of it as a New Day reference. Has there been any other pancake wrestling references?
Not to my knowledge. New Day's anyone's ever come out of pancakes, I think.
A pre-time wrestling author and host of the ROH Review, Oliver Newman.
Hello, and I'd like to be called the best ice chipper in the UK today as well. That's what I've been doing. It is as much fun as you think, ladies and gents. I would recommend it. It's great for stress relieving.
Hello, everyone. Just got a hammer and a chisel.
Well, if you don't have a hammer or a chisel, you can use a trusty knife.
Don't do this
at home, kids. You know that somebody's going to crack that, yeah. So, yeah. Hello, everyone.
How you doing this evening, lads?
Yeah,
I've recorded one podcast and I'm coming on to this one, so yep, just fine and dandy.
Cool. How are you, Nick?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Had a day off sick myself. Had a bad night last night. Might go into details of any illness, but hoping I'm through the worst of it and hoping to get back to normality tomorrow, work, and obviously happy to be on the show this evening.
Fact you've done this podcast this evening means you probably have to go to work tomorrow, Nick. I'm not going to lie.
No, I will be going. I wanted to go today, but an all-nighter in another room in the house suggested I couldn't do that.
Cheers. Thanks for that, Nick.
Yeah, I went to Wrestle Island this weekend. That was an amazing show as always. The show strangely opened with a rumble. I thought it usually end with the rumble, but I think there was another show going on in Manchester a lot of the guys had to go to, so they opened the show with the rumble.
No, that makes sense for them to go and shoot off to go and do another show. How did Lance do?
He did all right. He lasted a couple of minutes. He came out. I can't remember what number came out, but he did really well. There's a lot of people we'd interviewed in the rumble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
a glorious wrestling podcast sponsored Rumble, I think.
Yeah.
He had more fun once he's eliminated because he's going around sitting on all the girls' knees and getting cuddles and stuff. So, as he's the playboy prince. So,
I did see his Instagram stories of all of that. All his photos that he uploaded.
Yeah. The Rumble's won by former champion Warren Banks. So, if you remember, two Wrestle Island shows ago, Warren Banks defeated Lucas Steele, and then Dan Evans immediately cashed in on him, so he literally held the belt for minutes. So now he's won the Rumble, so he gets a title shot whenever he wants one. And then friend of the show, Charlie Brennan, who I interviewed last week, he's been working backstage at the Island for years, and the fans all love him, so he came out at number 30, making his Island debut. And he got the biggest pop I've ever been involved in. It was amazing. Biggest pop on the Island ever. So it was then also on the show, Cameron Solis became number one contender, finally defeating Scott Overman in a brutal last man standing match. Yeah, this could have been on an over 18 show. This was so brutal. This is a fitting end to their nearly 2 year feud in the Island. And that match will be available on the Wrestle Island YouTube in the coming weeks. Oliver, it sounds like you've had a few busy weeks with interviews and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. Obviously, the Shane Hagedorn 1 and 2 went out, so last Wednesday for that. I'm basically interviewing people, and I'm not sure when the interviews are going to be released.
That time I got drunk and asked 10 people if they wanted interviews, they all came back saying yes.
The way I was going on it was going to be Bullet Gate, and then I spoke to Stephen Jackson, the co-host, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. And then we was like, oh, wait a second, we've got 9,000 listeners, we probably should do this. And then I started asking people, and everyone's come back with a yes, and it's just about scheduling. So interviewed the one-time ROH Tag Team Champions, Loke and DeVito, the Carnage crew. I've interviewed the Spanish announce team, the SATs, LAX Hernandez, but in our way, he's called Hot Stuff Hernandez. I'm sure he'll like that. And then just this past Friday, interviewed somebody I think everyone needs to keep an eye on in 2020. And that is, this is his nickname, not mine, because I wasn't sure about racial connotation and stuff, but the Chocolate Man. Mm-hmm. Shaheem Ali, he's just won the Larry Sharp Memorial Cup in his like kind of singles situation at the moment. So keep a close eye on Shaheem Ali in 2020. I think it's going to be a huge year for him. And other interviews to come. Just not sure when they're going to be posted. Those ones that I just spoke about. And when these other interviews are going to be done. But it's just fantastic for the ROH Review. Me and Stephen have worked so hard on the show and behind the scenes with this new YouTube channel as well. The ROH wrestlers and alumni and stuff have liked and retweeted our stuff and are happy to join us on the interview side of things, even though it's just been me interviewing at this moment in time. Because of Stephen working mostly during the day. So, it's just fantastic. The listeners, the feedback we've had, the ROH wrestlers, alumni and stuff that are getting behind the product is amazing. And we're really happy and we're really thankful.
Well, amazing. I can't wait to listen to some of the interviews. Was Ali part of the Coast to Coast or something? That tag
team? Yeah.
Yeah.
With Leon St. Giovanni.
Yeah.
But they went their separate ways at Final Battle December.
This is Charlie Bennett, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
All right, so it's time for the first round of questions of sports entertainment. So, Nick is question master again this week.
Yes, the theme this week for the quiz, it's with... with obviously a fantastic pay-per-view in store on this weekend, AEW Revolution. I've decided to do it on WWE's competitors. So, obviously, I'm not going to name every single promotion in the world. I've just gone for some, obviously, main generic, obviously, companies, but obviously, you'll see as we go on. So,
yeah.
Chris won last week, didn't he? So, Chris, again, you get the choice of going first or second. We'll cross to see how the bridge when we come to it. What would you like to do? Go first or second?
I'll go first this week. So.
Okay. So, Chris, to go first. And the first round is AEW Double or Nothing. So, simply, I want you to... That was AEW's first ever official pay-per-view. I know you could just argue all in sort of thing.
Yeah.
The first actual one with their brand and everything as a company, obviously, was May last year. I want you to name your wrestlers that competed on the show. Just going to stress, the pre-show does not count. Not interested in the pre-show. So, a lot of wrestlers, obviously, were in that Casino Battle Royal. None of them were count. Okay. No. So, yeah, wrestlers who competed on the main card, so not the buy-in, not the pre-show, whatever you wish to call it. Clear on the rules, you two?
Yeah.
And of course, it will be, the standard penalty shootout, five hits each for round one.
I'm struggling to remember the show. Yeah.
Well,
this is from Double or Nothing last May.
Yes, correct. May 25th, I believe, or whatever it was. It was random. It was the May, the last May bank holiday.
Yeah.
So, I heard a phone go off there. I hope that wasn't a quick Google search.
I'll turn my phone down. I don't usually have the sound on. I don't know what's happening.
Right, Chris. You're to start now.
Pentagon Junior.
Correct. Sorry, it was right down the end of my list. Oliver.
Kenny Omega.
Correct.
Ray Phoenix.
Correct.
Chris Jericho.
Correct.
Nick Jackson.
Correct.
Matt Jackson.
Correct.
Nyla Rose.
Correct.
Rio.
Correct.
Struggling to remember matches. Is it if they appeared on the show or they had a match?
They competed. They had to have a match. Competed on said show. So not the pre-show.
Cody Rhodes.
Correct.
MJF.
No.
Okay.
And that's the end of the first round.
Doing so well.
Chris, yeah, you were. I was about to say, we're getting our first sudden death we've had for a long, long time in round one. But, Chris wins 5-4. It was three of the other wrestlers you could have had. So, Chris Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky. Again, some of these I might have pronounced wrong. Seema, T-Hawk, L. Linderman, Britt Baker, Awesome Kong, Kylie Ray, Chuck Taylor, Trent Barretta, and Heligo, Jack Evans. Hikaru Shida, Rio Mizunami. I can't pronounce the surname.
Rio.
I said Rio, didn't I?
No, that was another one. Oh. Rio, or I think I might have actually typed this up wrong, sorry. Rio Mizunami, Aja Kong, Imai Sakura, and Yuka Jakazaki, and Dustin Rhodes.
That's why I never do quizzes based around Japan because I can't pronounce any of them.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, so I'm surprised Dustin Rhodes wasn't said, I'll be honest, especially after Cody.
Was Dustin
against Cody?
But no, still a good start, 5-4, end of round one.
Sapping and Dolls, it's Harley Hudson, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious. See ya.
Alright, so we'll do our preview for this weekend's AEW Revolution. So the card so far.
Moving nicely onto that. That's why I did it, see?
So yeah, the first match on my list is the AEW World Tag Team Titles. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus the Young Bucks. Elite versus Elite.
I think with this... I've really liked sort of where this is going. Really like the booking of sort of Adam Page sort of slowly sort of turning towards sort of obviously loving his alcohol, having his beer sort of thing after every match. And I'm sort of wondering if this is going to be sort of the start of them obviously him feuding with or sort of turning heel. I think he is slowly turning heel, Adam Page. And I think it will be sort of one where he's more sort of choosing beer and everything over mates. Obviously, they're going to try and assist him, but soon I think it will be the point of almost like an Adam Page breakdown that we'll get to, sort of thing. But this is quite interesting where they have gone from face versus faces.
I was convinced the LEX were going to win that Battle Royal.
The way
the card set out, it's like the Inner Circle versus AEW. So just apart from this match, was Elite versus Elite. So it's...
It is interesting, but I think whether it's too soon, I think given they've turned the belts quite a bit, haven't they, already given in. So I think I'll go for Omega and Paige to retain, but I don't think I see them taking the belts all the way up to Double or Nothing in May. So I think they'll drop it on the Dynamite show up until May, because I think they'll be a feuding with each other when it comes to Double or Nothing. So yeah, but I will go for Page and Omega retaining their tag title belts.
For myself, I think they've, you know, they're ready to pull the trigger on a Hangman Adam Page heel turn, and I think this is when they're going to do it. So whether it'll happen during the match or after the match, you know, there could be some miscommunication that could cost Omega and Paige the titles, and obviously goes to the Young Bucks, or they could retain again, just able to work around the miscommunication, and then he turns on him post match. So I think take the titles off Omega and Paige, and then have them feud. So I'm going to have the Young Bucks.
Ooh, one more. Yeah, I think it's too early to take the titles off Omega and Paige. I can see them, this being a slow build where he slowly turns heel, and then at the next events they'll lose them, I think. I think they will carry them to the next events, but there'll be a great storyline where he slowly is turning. Did you see that one of the graphics below? They have them funny facts. And one of them, Kenny Omega has not had a drink since whatever the number was. Whatever the number was, it added up to 36 years, 3 months. Actually, he's never had a drink, basically. And then it was that Adam Page just has another drink for 25 minutes.
Well, to be fair to him, I do like the way he does. He is proper necking them after the matches, obviously, at Dynamite, with going into the crowd. I know they're obviously they're not full pints sort of thing, but even so, like especially after your knackered sort of thing, after a wrestling match, you know, it's obviously quite refreshing.
The last thing you want is a beer.
Yeah, you'd rather want like a cold bottle of water, wouldn't you? Yeah, I could just go neck a pint after doing like a run or something. But no, fair play, and it's only helping the story on.
So next match is this could be a bit brutal, this match, with the build that we've had so far. So Cody versus MJF. Is there a stipulation on this match? I don't think there is.
No, the stipulations were to get to the match, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think for MJF to have turned on Cody, he's got to win this match. Otherwise, he's kind of treading water in AEW. And with Warlord, He's got an opportunity to win it in a you know, a dirty, sneaky, snidey, heelish way, hasn't he?
I was so impressed with Warlow in that like cage match. I was thinking he was just gonna be this big lumbering brute, but he was doing, yeah, it's like a younger like Keith Lee style, like a big guy. So it's like just pulling out the flips and stuff. So
well, Cody's moonsault from the top of the cage was crazy, wasn't it?
I wish in the weeks beforehand they would have established like the moon sort of the top rope was like his finishing move, and then he had to do a super one to beat Wardlow. Would have been a good way of going, I think.
Yeah.
But doing my maths, Cody stood tall at the end of the last show, so that means MJF is going to win.
There's another show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
See, are none of you guys looking forward to the? I know it's not part of the Revolution show, but the 30-minute Ironman match between Pac and Kenny Omega.
I don't see the point of 30-minute Ironman matches, because the match will probably go 30 minutes anyway.
I guess not.
No, I mean, I think this show, this week's show is like a mini pay-per-view. I'm really looking forward to it.
It is a great go-home show, isn't it, for the pay-per-view? But yeah, no, for it, I think the build to this has been fantastic. The stipulations have been excellent. I was a big fan of the way I could sort of compare it in a way as to sort of the Triple H to Stone Cold rivalry back at 2001, No Way Out. It was 2001. Yeah, the Free Stage of Hell. The Lashes segment a couple of weeks ago was probably one of my favorite segments on TV. I loved it. It was one where you literally almost like scared to watch the next one, so I think you kind of want to wind for. I can't actually watch this. It's actually making me a bit uneasy. The way it was sold by everyone, like Cody, Arn Anderson, got Dustin all coming down. It just made MJF. I've said it on the show countless times. I think he's one of the best. He's probably the best heel in wrestling at the moment in this current day and age. I think he'll only go on to be one of the best heels as well of all time, I think, in wrestling. I think he's absolutely class. I've loved him ever since I've sort of first watched him compete.
He's only 23?
Yeah, scary. 2 years younger than me, I can't. It's mental. He's a big boy as well.
I don't want to tell you how many years younger than me.
but as I say, loved everything about the feud. And also as well, even if... So I think I would have also MJF winning, And also as well, it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the feud, because there's no step after that. Cody can't hypothetically go and beat the hell out of him, even backstage after the match. I mean, it's not just for the segment. It wasn't just that stip. It was only before Revolution, before the bell goes. So there's no certain that Cody can't get more revenge further down the line on MJF. So I think for now, to keep the story going, I'll have an MJF win. But as I say, I mean, the feud's been absolutely fantastic. That cage match this week was, as you both rightfully said, it was incredible, the flip of the cage. And I'm usually not a big fan of steel cage matches. I've always found them pretty meagre, being a bit serious.
Yeah, there was a bit in it where he slid down the side of the cage and then he started getting kicked in from the outside. I've never seen that before. So.
I've just never personally been big fans of the stipulation, because I've always just found it the case of, well, surely if you're in there, you'll just quickly leg it out the door sort of thing, and then you've won the match. I've always just gone for that simple process. And there are times where people do great sort of moves off the cage, obviously going to look at this week, but also we're going back to like when Eddie Guerrero could have just climbed out to win the WWE title, he started to jump frog splash off the top cage, which is great to watch, but you're also thinking, well, that's bloody stupid. You could just sort of just won the title.
Yeah.
So, loved everything about this feud. I think both men have been absolutely fantastic in doing their roles going into the feud, into this match. But, I'd go for an MJF win.
Yeah, I'm thinking MJF win as well. So. Next on my list, the AEW Women's World Championship, Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander. So I don't think we've discussed Nyla Rose winning the championship, have we?
No, I think with the whole women's, I think with the women's scene on AEW, it's no disrespect, so I think it's been kind of like a, I think it's got taken almost a bit of a back seat. It hasn't been sort of portrayed maybe as well as, I think, because WWE have done so well in booking their women over the last three, 4 years or so, that it was always going to be quite hard for AEW to live up to that sort of standard if you are going to compare the two companies. Nyla Rose is a beast. She's absolutely classed. Real sort of like sort of monster in the ring. So I think you couldn't really keep the title away from her for too long, given just the power of the woman. In terms of the match itself, I think, the title's only just changed hands, I think she'll...
Oh, you cut out then? No.
Oh, sorry, did I cut out?
You cut out, you said, I think she'll...
Oh. And we're waiting with bated breath for your answer. Yeah.
So I think as she's just won the title, I think she'll retain.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I do like Chris Statlander. I think she will be a star in the future. But I think it's a bit early for her to win the title. Yeah.
I think she would have been champion. I just think of kind of, because she couldn't be on a couple of shows, could she? When they were going to possibly change the title. So, yeah, much like Nick, they put it on Nyla Rose. And I hate the backlash that has come with that. I think it's an absolute disgrace. But, yes. Keep it on her and let her, build the division and the women around her. Should be a good match, though.
I'd give her, like, a Shayna Baszler dominant run with it. And then once somebody make a star out of the person who takes it off her.
Well, you could have, like, an awesome Kong from, like, TNA back in the day, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Kind of run. Should be good.
Then next is Dustin Rhodes versus Jake Hager. I thought these guys would have had matches loads, but apparently they've only had one match on main events ever. The amount of time they've paired the WWE together, they would have had a couple of matches, but apparently this the second match ever. I'm sure that was because of Holic podcast who said that. Apparently, yeah, they had one match in main event.
Wow.
I'm really looking forward to this because I'm seeing, keeps wanting to say Jack Swagger, JK. I haven't seen him wrestle for ages.
No.
I don't think I've seen him wrestle since he was a 5-star champion.
He's quite
decent.
No, it'll be interesting to see if as well. He's obviously been in mixed martial arts, so that helps him and almost improve his like if he sort of develops like sort of new ring sort of style, sort of presence, a bit like kind of a bit like when I suppose a bit of a difference in wrestler. But when Brock came back to WWE, obviously he had a complete change of sort of move sets. It was just like, oh my god, this is sort of a beast that's come from a different sport almost. So it'd be interesting to see if they do go down that route. They sort of make reference to his mixed martial arts background now. In terms of the match, I mean, it's probably the match I'm least looking forward to, just sure, but well, I presumed as well, to be fair, now that you've said that, I was always just thinking, oh, we've probably seen it God knows how many times on sort of minor WWE TV. So for that purpose, I wasn't really that sort of sold. That being said, it ticks storyline purposes. Obviously, having the Inner Circle wrestle sort of the faces on the main roster, Dustin's proven time and time again he's still very much an in-ring talent. He's obviously got lots to offer. I mean, you've got to mention what we said in the quiz earlier, his match against Cody last year. It was one of AEW's best ever matches, and how brutal that was. I imagine this will be pretty brutal given the way the feud's going. Between the Inner Circle and the rest, there's obviously got the segment where they smashed his arm in the car. That was pretty brutal. But yeah, like yourself, I think the main reason I'm looking forward to this is just simply to see Jake Hager wrestle again, to see if he is going to bring sort of that mixed martial arts sort of style to the match, and to see him, and also to see him. He was always pretty good in WWE, Jack Swagger, so it will be interesting to see if a bit of time away off sort of screens has done him a world of good, which it can do to obviously a lot of wrestlers. So, but I think, yeah, in terms of this as well, given it's his first match, I'd go for a Hager win, which, again, be fine. Dustin Rhodes putting over a talent. I'm sure it won't be a sort of a squash, far from it. But, yeah, Jake Hager win for me.
Yeah, much like Nick says, I think Jake Hager has to win this. Yeah, it'll just be an interesting match because, you know, obviously Hager's first in the company. He's been in Bellator. Working on MMA, hasn't he? So it'd be interesting to see what kind of style he comes in with. It's probably going to be MMA style. And yeah, this will probably be the, you know, a fight, probably not as brutal as Cody versus MJF is going to be. But yeah, this is going to be a fight, a battle between two big guys. So should be a quite interesting watch. But Hager for the win.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hager win as well. I hope he moves away from the singlet as well and goes into like a more MMA-style attire. But just don't make him look anything like his WWE. Let's keep it.
I would have Zeb Cole to come out and distract as well. And at the end, everyone puts their hand on their heart and says, We the people. Hager wins all around there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
The next match I think could steal the show, so Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been so impressed with both these guys since they debuted. I haven't seen much of them before AEW. I think I'd seen like one Sammy Guevara match. I'd heard of Darby Allin before, but not seen anything by him. But I've been so impressed with these two.
I'd heard about Darby Allin because at the time, I was watching a bit of Evolve here and there, and then obviously saw him on the Wrestlers documentary kind of series, and the lengths he'd gone to, you know, coming from Seattle, sleeping in a van, putting up the ring, is somebody you get behind. And then from Sammy Guevara's perspective, we couldn't say it when Nick was doing the quiz because he had to be on the main show, but he had a fantastic match against Kip Sabian at Double or Nothing. He was the first match, I think, on the first show with Cody. And he's just brilliant. He's brilliant in the ring. He's brilliant in terms of his character and who he's become. Just two guys who in years to come, you'll be building the company around. And this has everything, you know, in terms of the recipe and stuff, to be a match of the night. It should be a phenomenal match. In terms of my prediction, sorry, Nick, I didn't put my prediction in. This is a toss-up again. I think Darby Allin's the more popular, but it could have gone either way, but I'll go with Darby Allin.
I'm going with Darby Allin purely because I think there's going to be a lot of heel wins on this show. So just have a nice, maybe open it with a good face win. But then I don't want Sammy to lose again. They've both lost lots of matches recently. So, but yeah.
It's going to be a draw.
Well, LAX on the show, so that maybe they just come in after a good match, they'll come in and just make it as qualification. But I can see Darby Allin getting a good face win to start the show, and then we'll have a couple of hail victories.
Yeah, it's that is an interesting one about them. Obviously, a lot of heel. It's quite a heel. This was a heel heavy card, which doesn't necessarily make a bad pay per view if you're booking it all correctly. And I think for pay per views, you can kind of get away with it. Obviously, when you're doing house shows, that's a different story altogether because you kind of want crowds to be unhappy.
That's right. No way, Jose had a better win record than Brock Lesnar last year because he wins a lot on house shows.
Well, for that reason, obviously, because you want the crowd to dance around, sing along, and what have you.
But
that's quite funny. Sat with both sides, I think this could be a potential match of the night. Steeler, both men have, I think they've actually improved so much since the companies as well started having that weekly, obviously, television side of things. They've really improved sort of their, obviously, the whole presence, their in-ring ability, their obviously on mic work. And I think for both of them as well, it's almost in terms of getting over, but in their correct ways. Like Darby Allin, obviously, when it first started, his crowd reactions were very bland, I'd say, is the word. That could be me being a bit too harsh. Then you only have to look at his return this week on Dynamite. It was this week when he came out with the lights going dark. The crowd lost their minds. It was an incredible pop.
Match against Kennedy changed his life, I think. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, that's all credit of obviously wrestlers he's working with in AEW. But I think even Taz alluded to on the mic that's a big pop sort of thing for when Darby did come out. So I've only seen him wrestle when I went to New Orleans in America last year, which I don't think, or 2 years ago now. I don't think I've ever said. he was on the Progress show I saw out there, and he had a really nasty... You could tell he was someone who was throwing his sort of life on the line of, was doing dangerous spots, and yet it's held because he came in the Thunderbastard match and had to make a quick exit, which was a shame because he was... It was really annoying because for the whole day, it ruled him out of the... Evolve show that we had tickets for and the Joey Janela Spring Break show. So yeah. It meant we couldn't see him at all that day because of a really nasty sort of, obviously a nasty injury, which meant I didn't see him until AEW started, really. In terms of his wrestlability, really improved. Sammy Kavari, yeah, on the mic, he's sort of been one of the Inner Circle's best sort of... had to really explain it. Yeah, I think he's been sort of come out the best of the Inner Circle as a stable in terms of his sort of cocky, heelish ways. Obviously, clearly learning a lot from Jericho, which is to be expected. But I think he's one that's improved his own sort of game there, being that stable. And he's not one that's been locked. I mean, you can get a lot of wrestlers who can sometimes get lost in a stable as well when it's quite big, when you've got sort of two tag teams, a big guy, and there's obviously a big name in Jericho, a big guy in Hager. It's very easy for that sort of wrestler to get lost if they're not. But the way he's... come about, I think it's only done his career a world of good. Always seems to make a storyline very interesting, being on TV, very entertaining, very comical. And as you say, his in-ring ability matches have always been very, very good to watch. But in terms, I'm really struggling for this one in terms of winning. I'm going to go for Sammy. I'm going to go for him to win, simply down to the fact that I think the Inner Circle needs to get... it'd be good to see the Inner Circle dominate, I think. It's their second pay-per-view since AEW. Yeah, so I think just to really establish that as the dominant stable in the company, given there's obviously a few stables, I think, yeah, I'll go for Sammy to win.
All right, cool. Then our final match, we have the main event, so the AEW World Championships, Chris Jericho versus Jon Moxley. This has had an amazing build, I think, from the Jericho trying to get Moxley to join the stable, and then we've had the whole eye thing. I think the build's been perfect for this match. So I'm gonna go for Moxley.
You
though,
are beautiful on the inside.
Jericho was a great first champion, but I think they need to move it on to Moxley, and then we have that Moxley Omega title feud after Double or Nothing, going into All Out, All In, whatever it's called.
It's what I'm told. I would keep it on Jericho. I just absolutely love Jericho. If we talk about wrestlers who keep getting better, and we said on the show countless times, he's just never going to be boring, is he? It's almost like the Ryan Giggs of football. Until the player or until the wrestler decides to call it a day, they're still going to be one of the best around. And sorry to any Liverpool fans listening for the reference, but I think he's just still so entertaining. Everything about him, even all the memes on Twitter, just in general ring ability as well, in terms of watchable television. He's just still the best thing, I think, about AEW as a whole. He is absolutely class. The champion has to retain, but yeah, right, I've enjoyed this feud. And as well, it's been a long time they've been feuding for, but it's not like one of these feuds that you see on other promotions with.
You've never really seen him have a match, have we?
No, that's a good thing.
That's how you build feuds. That's how they used to build feuds in like the 90s on WWF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Well, nail on the head. I think the only wrestler who's actually wrestled in the Inner Circle, I believe, is one of the LX.
He had a match with both LAX.
Yeah, which is fine, which is probably the way you want to do it, as opposed to, because you could even argue if Hager comes out of his match looking fantastic, you could even argue that you don't want to waste that match further on down the line, which could be a big sort of pay-per-view match. And even same with Sammy Guevara, that could also be another fantastic match as well down the line. Feud's been great. But I'm going to still, I know it's again another heel winning, but Jericho for me. Jericho just has to retain, but really excited. And I know this gets a lot of, I've seen a lot of obviously on forums and what have you, on other podcasts, that the feud in WWE wasn't great. I actually really enjoyed their feud in WWE between Aaron Ambrose and Jericho. I don't think it gets the credit it kind of deserves. I trust AEW to book it even better. So I'm really excited for this.
Joel still talks about that. Ambrose Asylum match.
They made a feud around a potted plant.
With
these two guys are. Do you know what I mean? So they're really interesting. The really interesting thing is if we went back to when AEW started and it was Hangman Adam Page against Chris Jericho for the title, I think every one of us wanted Page to win. But here we are, you know, and we're over 3, 6, or 7 months later, maybe even longer than that. And Jericho, once again, we say this, it sounds like a broken record, but he's doing the best work of his career. Le Champion. He keeps
reinventing himself. That's all these memes came off.
Forget he's the youngest champion of AEW history. He's got his whole future ahead of him.
He keeps reinventing himself, and you know, not in terms of match quality with Adam Cole, but the kind of champion that you can keep the title on him. So I try not to do this often, but I agree with Nick. I think the title needs to stay on Jericho. I mean, he's not going to lose to a one-eyed guy in a fight, is he, really? If we're talking about, you know, Moxley's injury and stuff. But I think it'll be fantastic. You could switch it to Moxley, but I think keep it on Jericho, although I'm not quite sure who his next contender is going to be. But some of the best work of his career has happened on the TV show against Jungle Boy and Darby Allin. Those matches have been so, so good. He's so brilliant at elevating his opponent. It's untrue. It could go either way, this one, but Chris Jericho's still got a lot of juice as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, or Le Champion, as Nick put it.
You are listening to Broken But Glorious with Henry Grodd. And nobody hates better than me.
All right, so it's time for the final round of Questions of Sports Entertainment. So, Nick, take it away.
Yep. So, obviously we've had AEW. Now we're probably going to go for WWE's second biggest rival in living memory, which, of course, is TNWCW.
TNWCW.
Heard of that company, to be fair. I'm going to really struggle.
Still one of my favourite moments in America, is a really stupid one, but when it was backstage with Kevin Owens, I think I was on my way down the stairs to get a beer, and it was just, what are you two doing here? Oh, well, we're not hiring, but I do hear TNA is hiring. Just the whole crowd. It was like one of those things, you go, stop, what? Everyone just like, it was more laughter, and everyone just going, holy, you know what, sort of thing. It is WCW. So we obviously, I gave you the first ever All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view. So I want you to name wrestlers that competed at WCW's last ever pay-per-view, which of course was WCW Greed.
Greed, and it was one of the deadly sin ones.
WCW Greed. So, and again, it will be. I didn't even see they had a pre-show for this back in the day, but no pre-show again. Just wrestlers who competed on the main card. Chris, you went first, so it'll be Oliver going first this time. Again, the score is currently Chris 5, Oliver 4. So, Oliver, when you are ready.
Okay. Five-time WCW champion, Booker T.
That is correct. Five times correct.
Super.
Didn't he beat Scott Steiner for the title on that show?
He didn't, but Scott Steiner is also correct.
Cool.
He shouldn't get a point for that. You've got to get the result right.
Sorry, I didn't specify this week on...
Cool.
Sugar Shane Helms.
Shane Helms is correct.
Yeah.
Sting?
No.
I wasn't watching WCW.
Oh dear.
Sean O'Hare.
Correct.
Brian Adams.
No, incorrect.
Oh.
Mark Jindrak.
Mark Jindrak, was that?
Yep.
No.
Rey Mysterio?
Correct.
Yay.
Right, last go each. So,
is that five guesses? Wow.
This is the fifth go.
Jamie Noble?
No.
Billy Kidman?
Correct. And there's a reference on Raw this week about that man. But yeah, that's correct. When Ricochet here to move on Raw, they did say, oh, Billy Kidman will be proud. which I had a lot of time for. But that does conclude that. That was 3-all in this round.
Yes.
And so the winner again.
Win streak.
Got an incredible
continues.
Record. The streak continues. It's Chris 8, Oliver 7. But a great effort again by Oliver, has to be said. But Chris still find a way, like Liverpool, can keep finding a way to win football matches.
I mean, I need to get a little.
What you've got common.
This little Irish lad needs to write a letter to me to ask me to stop winning. I don't know if you saw that. Was that just on the North West News?
I saw it.
Yeah, he wrote to Klopp to ask him to stop winning.
Yeah.
Stop winning. Other wrestlers you could have had, he whizzed through these as quick as possible. So, Jason Jett, Kiwi Wee, Elix Skipper, Kid Romeo, Sean Stasiak, Bam Bam Bigelow, Lance Storm, Mike Awesome, Hugh Morris, Conan, Chavo Guerrero, Chuck Palumbo, Buff Bagwell, Lex Luger, Ernest Miller, Chris Kanyon, Rick Steiner, Dusty, that was who Booker T beat. Chris, Dustin Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Jeff Jarrett, and DDP.
Who was the one directly after Mike Awesome, Nick?
Hugh Morris.
Ah, okay. Hugh Morris.
Morris.
Okay.
Very good.
But yeah, congratulations, Chris.
Thank you. All right.
This is James Reed, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious podcast.
So Super Showdown is this Thursday, so we thought rather than doing another preview, it'll be fun if we booked probably not the biggest Universal title match in history, but probably the most intriguing from a booking standpoint in history, with The Fiend versus Goldberg. So despite being in his 50s, Goldberg is still booked as a steamroller, as if he's just steamrolls through his competition with his sporadic appearances over the last couple of years. As he did back in his 90s heyday. And then you have The Fiend and his supernatural aura that allows him to shrug off brutal beatings. He's shrugged off beatings of chairs, of ladders, and still survive it. So this should be interesting.
Tables, oh my.
Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I don't mind doing it.
Cool, okay.
Well, don't forget, though, before I say this, that apparently rumour has it this weekend that WrestleMania scripts have been torn up, so make of that what you will. But I
yes,
think,
I've heard that, yeah.
So, all we could be saying now, it could all be, everything could be changed.
I heard that the rumour is Killer Cross versus Cena.
Wow. Well, apparently he's behind that glitch on SmackDown at the moment.
Yeah. So that how they're going to turn him glitching SmackDown into facing Cena.
You want to say about WrestleMania tickets not shifting, Nick, while we're talking about it?
That's right. What was I saying? I've completely forgotten. Oh, yeah, Goldberg. I just thought I'd say that quickly about that with the plans. But Goldberg, Wyatt, so I think it'll simply be both of them will come out. We'll see the two fantastic entrances. But that'll probably take about 10 minutes in itself. But I think we're going to get Goldberg straight away. We hit a spear. 1-2 kicks out. He'll do it again. He'll do it, I think, 3 spears. It'll be 2 counts on each one. And then on the third one, he goes to Wyatt. Will then hit him with a... he'll then try and give him the claw, but Goldberg will fight his way out. Then I have a bit of back and forth. I'm going to go for about... I'll give it 5 minutes, a bit of back and forth between the two men. I think then he will give him... I think Wyatt will... I think he will then hit him with a draw, try to hit him with another claw. What's his other finishing move there, Wyatt? Sorry, I've just gone completely blank.
Sister Abigail,
yeah. I think he would hit Sister Abigail, won't get the three counts. And then, as I say, I think it'll be a relatively sort of quick, definitely under 10 minutes. So, yeah, we'll have the shenanigans at the start with the 3 spears. The Fiend kicks out on all 3 of them. Goes for a 4 spear, but then gets put or tries to get put in the claw. Goldberg quickly fights his way out of it. Then there is a bit of back and forth, maybe even spills to the outside, where the pace sort of slows down a bit like kind of Lesnar Goldberg. I don't know how long that went at WrestleMania a few years ago. I think that was not Goldberg's longest one. But a bit back and forth between the two. And then I think, it will get to a point where Goldberg sort of slowly gets the upper hand, gets a few sort of... gets a few sort of grapples to the floor. But then, Wyatt does counter it and his Sister Abigail. 1-2. And then gets up. And then eventually puts him away with that claw. the match. And, Goldberg gets out of that.
He escapes the claw 3 times?
Twice.
Or twice, yeah.
Twice. He kicks out of Sister Abigail once.
Yeah.
But, the second time, I'm afraid, is the charm. Because you really need to... The way I'm looking at it is, I know you could say, well, it's quite quick for putting Goldberg away, but you've got an unstoppable monster at the moment on SmackDown. You've got a guy who wrestles, he wrestled twice in 2019? Against Dolphin Undertaker?
Yeah.
Wrestled, twice in 2017 against Owens and Lesnar. And then wrestled, obviously, the once in 2016 against Lesnar. So... That's 4 years, and we're talking. I can still count probably all the matches on one hand, maybe even just 2 hands. But so I think with that, I would look at it that it doesn't take an awful lot to put Goldberg away. But
I think this is matches just for the entrances for the crowd. I think
100%, and I'm still looking forward to it. As I say, with I mentioned about obviously with the scripts getting torn up, you never know. We could potentially see obviously Goldberg does come out on top, and it could even be for a way to link into another one. It could even be a way to try and shift those extra shift a few more tickets. That oh yeah, hang on. If we put Goldberg the belt on Goldberg, you never know that tickets for that then might start selling out. And if it doesn't, then they can always just make him drop the belt at Elimination Chamber. And in that token, what's the worst? They only just get another appearance out of Goldberg, and it could even be a way to lob the belt back on the Fiend sort of thing. And that again, it's hot potato, which we don't really like, especially with such a prestigious belt. But again, I'm just more thinking from almost a business point of view as well as opposed to sort of a fan point of view, but also in a fan point of view where no one's really going to lose that much sort of interest, I don't think, given that the title is itself gone a bit sort of the run, I think, with the belt's gone a bit not boring as such, but it's certainly not great. So I think everyone's obviously banking out for the Fiend Reigns match, but it's kind of one where if there is going to be some twists and turns on the way to WrestleMania, I think the fans will be understanding and more intrigued to see where it goes. But yeah, to sum up, I think it'll be a just under 10-minute match between the two, and it'll be White winning with the claw. And Goldberg's picture's added to the wall in the Firefly Funhouse.
Do you want to go next, Oliver, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go next. I think it's going to be quick. I think you could really use this as an opportunity to put Wyatt over huge. So I'd love to see a spear, a kick out. I'd love to see the jackhammer as well, and love to see him kick out of that. I'd love to see a third spear tried and he gets caught with Sister Abigail, but Goldberg kicks out of that. And then they're just throwing fists at each other, reversal into the claw, and he's not going to tap out. So Goldberg passes out from the claw, and you can do that within 5 minutes. But hopefully the rest of the card will mean that the main event doesn't have to go long for the people to think they've got the money's worth. But yeah, if Wyatt kicks out of the spear and the jackhammer, that would do amazing things for him. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Cool. If WWE doesn't go with my booking, they are missing something. So, right. So the Fiend comes out first, and then Goldberg goes to his usual entrance, completely battered the guards. But as he's going down the corridor, he keeps getting interrupted by the Firefly Funhouse puppets. So you got like Devil Witch saying, "You're too old," and Rampant Rabbit saying, "You've got no chance." Abby Witch saying, "This is the end for you." Just trying to get Goldberg angry and pull him off his game. So then Goldberg gets in the ring, mad as hell.
Well, Chris, need to interrupt you there. Rambling Rabbit absolutely loves Goldberg. He says he's his favourite wrestler of all time. Then he gets murdered for saying it. Sorry.
He's also terrified of the Fiend, so he will tell him that he's got no chance. Alright, so then Goldberg gets in the ring, mad as hell, and goes straight for the Fiend. And they basically reenact Goldberg Brock from 2016, move for move. But then Wyatt kicks out, so that'll put the Fiend over massively, because he could do what Brock couldn't and survive the match. So then Goldberg gets frustrated, hits another spear, then goes to the corner for a third spear. The camera zooms in, and something starts coming through the ring. It's a full-size Huskus the Pig. So imagine Otis. Imagine Otis in a Huskus the Pig costume. But then Goldberg is like a rabbit in the headlights as Huskus avalanches him into the corner, then throws him to the other corner, avalanches him again, and then Goldberg stumbles forward into the Sister Abigail for the win.
Wow.
For Wyatt.
4-3 bookings, I prefer Chris's.
I don't really know what to think of that, but then I think that goes so well with Saudi shows. I think, warranty, I think that pretty well happen.
If they don't do it, they're missing something. A full-size Huskus the Pig. God.
What, booking Goldberg versus Huskus the Pig at WrestleMania?
I'm not going to say it is.
Tickets, I don't know what will.
It's just for your imaginations. Just imagine Otis in a pig. I don't think they'll put Otis in a pig costume.
No. I'm all for that. That gets my vote.
Hi everyone, it's Oliver Newman here, three-time pro wrestling author, and for myself, if you want to support me and my work, you can buy my books, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, where I focus on the British wrestling scene, my book on WWE in 2016, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And my book on WrestleMania 24, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. You can buy them on Amazon in paperback and Kindle, Kindle Instantaneous and Kindle Unlimited for free. Or if you would like a signed copy, you can get in contact with me on a Big Cartel, afanspersspective.bigcartel.com. Thank you very much.
So before we go, what's coming up on the ROH review?
On the ROH review, before recording this tonight, we've recorded the Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor preview shows for the double shot this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, respectively. We'll have ROH episode 17 review for Monday, audio and video for Tuesday. And like I said, we're thinking about releasing an interview this weekend, so just watch this space. But I don't want to promise anything because I don't like breaking my promises.
Yeah, I've got plenty of interviews coming up next week. Got Mullet Man tomorrow.
Mullet Man.
Yeah, he's coming out. Oh, his new promotion sounds weird. Retro Wave Wrestling. So I asked him, send over the card, and he's like, okay, so we've got RoboCop versus the Terminator, and then we've got a Voodoo Witch versus Cthulhu, and we have like, oh my God. A Kung Fu Vampire versus a Power Ranger. Like, okay. So it sounds a bit like that. You know, have you seen that Wrestleverse? So wrestlers come in with and they're just completely different gimmicks. So it could be something similar to that. If you've seen Wrestleverse in Newcastle. So it could be something. Yeah, that's something. It's going to be really fun talking to him about it tomorrow. Man Like the Reese has come down to promote the next Wrestling Resurgence show. And then, yeah, I'm in talks with a couple more. We haven't got any dates sorted. But they're the next 2 weeks' worth of interviews for you. Then check out our Twitter for announcements on when things are going to come out. It's BBGWPod. Also, check out our website, BBGWPod.com. And if you want a free month on powerslam.tv, use the promo code BROKENFREE. Good night.
Good night, everyone.